And we're pleased to welcome a special guest to this edition of The Bandwagon. We're joined by Chicago Cubs relief pitcher Spencer Patton, born here in Urbana and now pitching for the Cubs here in this historic season for them. Spencer, thanks for joining us today.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's our pleasure. I guess I'll just start with a very kind of general question, but can you describe what it's been like to be part of this Cubs team that's won more games than it has in over 80 years?
It's been a blast. The atmosphere in the clubhouse and around the guys, it's been a team I really enjoyed to be a part of, and it's definitely one I'll never forget.
Hi, Spencer. This is Lisa. I have a question. I know that you have moved up and down and also laterally to get to where you are now, and I'm curious to know, how hard or easy has it been for you to find your role on this team, given that history?
It's definitely not easy. Definitely more on the hard side. Mm-hmm. You know, moving up and down, it's hard to find that role like you're asking, to get on a roll and to be comfortable in one place, because, you know, when you have options and you're a guy in my situation, you could be up and down all the time, and it's hard to get settled in. And then also, you know, it's hard on my family. You know, we're packing all the time and moving to different cities and joining the team in different cities. So it's not easy. It's hard to get adjusted to, but it's part of the game, and it's just my role right now, and hopefully it pays off in the end.
Do you ever find yourself, or does your family find itself, not wanting to get too invested in a place because of the nature of the business that you're in?
Absolutely. You know, it's tough to settle in somewhere. Especially in cities that we like. Last year when we were in with Texas organization, we really loved our spot in Round Rock, mm-hmm. and we just liked the area. But it was hard to, you know, get comfortable there because we knew that any moment we could be leaving. So, and same this year, Des Moines is actually such a cool little city, and there's a lot going on there, and we enjoyed our time there a lot. But like I said, it's hard to just get comfortable there and really get acclimated because it could change in a moment.
That's a good answer, Spencer, because Brian's from Iowa, and I was worried you were going to say something bad about it. But, yeah, I think that's really fascinating to us, you going back between Iowa and the big league team. Obviously, you know, being in AAA is that's not like something easy to get to in and of itself. So it's just interesting, the dichotomy between that. So going between that and then going to Wrigley Field, which, you know, we're playing in front of 40,000 people who are, insane. How are the crowds in Iowa, actually, is a good question, because I know, obviously, there probably is a lot of enthusiasm there as well.
Des Moines actually draws pretty well. Not early in the season because it's cold, and not so much later in the season because school starts and everything. And it does get a little more chilly at the end of the season. But during the summer months, they draw really well. They're great fans. They're nice. They pay attention to the game, you know, and they really draw pretty well, and it's fun playing for that team.
Spencer, I'm curious, when you switch organizations like you did before this season, you went from the Rangers organization to the Cubs organization. When you came over, you know, and the Cubs started working with you, the pitching coaches there in the organization, you know, they obviously had seen you pitch. They kind of knew what your repertoire was. But did they have you kind of change your approach at all in how you attacked hitters or how you pitched or anything like that?
Not really. You know, obviously when you get traded or a team picks you up, you know, they like what you have already. Mm-hmm. And so they don't try to change you too much. Maybe they try to adapt you into what their philosophies are as a team, and not so much on an individual basis. So, but I mean, there are things that come up during a season that, you know, maybe you struggle with something and they see something that they'll, you know, try to give you information and advice to work on, but they don't really try to change you a whole lot as far as who you are individually. Madden and Theo are really good about that. They really like to let guys be their own player, They believe that you got to this level of doing something right. So let's roll with that. And if there's something that comes up or something that they think could help you, then they're gonna let you know.
This is Lisa again. I'm going to shift gears a little bit and just ask you, what was going on in Central Illinois when you were growing up here? Can you describe what it, you know? You were born here. What? How did you grow up here? Where did you go to school? What was it like? Do you miss it, etc.?
I was born in Urbana. Grew up in Tuscola, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
My whole family still lives in the area there. I don't remember a whole lot, but I still have a lot of friends in the area. I used to come back in the summer months when I moved away.
Mm-hmm.
I would come back and hang out with my friends, and my dad lived there, and me and my mom moved, and so I would always come back and see my dad, and I had a bunch of friends and family to hang out with. So it always felt like I was still a part of that community. And there's a friend of mine I had lunch with yesterday out here in Pittsburgh. He's from Tuscola, and he was telling me how Tuscola still claims me. So, so that's nice, and it's always nice to go back for family holidays and visit with people there. But, you know, I grew up an Illini fan, still am. I think it was just, typical Central Illinois upbringing, nothing crazy, just grew up in a small town.
Does it ever get weird for you when you talk, or did it ever, and does it now ever get weird for you to come home? Do your friends treat you any differently? Is it as you were starting to pull away and develop a career in baseball, what was that like in terms of your relationships with people?
Yeah, they may have treated me differently, or, played the 20 question game, for the first couple weeks when I came home, but mm-hmm. For the most part, it is kind of difficult to get jumped back into those relationships because, I'm kind of in the dark with how their lives are going. And when I come home, it's almost like I missed out on what's going on. They all have their own agendas and their own gossip, or if you will, and I'm just kind of left out of the loop, and it's hard for me to get back into that and jump back into those relationships. But it's not that bad. I try to find time for my wife, and I both try to find time for friends that we don't get to see that much during the season. And mm-hmm. the off season, we get to hang out with a bunch of people and get acclimated back to their lives, and just find out what's going on and how they're doing. But it is kind of a slow start at first when I come home in the off season.
Yeah, it's like being on tour with a rock band or something for 9 or 10
yeah,
months out of the year.
Yeah, it's like, the thing is, my lifestyle versus their lifestyle is totally different. So mm-hmm. it's like, it's hard to relate to with what they've got going on and what we've got going on. They always ask about how our life is, and it's hard to explain because they may not always understand.
Right.
And sort of along a similar, first of all, a quick question, did you grow up a Cardinals fan then?
I did grow up a Cardinals fan.
Okay, all right. Well,
nobody's perfect.
talking about, how you end up in the major league ball club. From externally, we all hear how wonderful it is to work with Joe Maddon and how he treats the team. As someone who's obviously gone back and forth a couple times, what's it like to get back up there? As you just talked about your friends, do you feel comfortable with the rest of the team? Do you feel like they have a bunch of inside jokes that you don't get because you haven't been there the whole time? Or is it just, I know you're all professionals, so there's probably a little bit of that's just the way things are.
Yeah. For the most part, this team's been, really welcoming with anybody that's came in, and joined the team late and hasn't been here all year. They're really good at welcoming guys, and I feel a part of this team every time I come back up and step foot in that locker room. So that's good. But there are, some things that you miss out on, whether it's, like you said, inside jokes or stuff that happens in the clubhouse or team dinners or team functions, And so there's a little bit of, what did I miss out on last time,
mm-hmm.
But for the most part, everybody's been real welcoming and made me feel like, I've been a part of the team the whole year and haven't been left out. So that's been nice. That's been an easy transition every time I've been up and down.
Talking with Cubs relief pitcher Spencer Patton here on the Bandwagon Sports Podcast. And Spencer, for a guy like you, you know, you pitched your college ball at SIU Edwardsville. You were not, you know, a real high round draft pick. Just talk about kind of that journey for you through the minor leagues. And when did you first really think, you know what, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make the big leagues. When did that really first become a reality for you?
It probably didn't really become a thought until, let's see, like 2014, I'd say. I was in AAA with the Royals. And it just hit me one day when I was sitting there in the bullpen or something. I was like, man, I'm literally only one phone call away. And that moment kind of felt surreal to me. Like, I never thought I would be in this situation. You know, like, I'm literally one phone call away from getting to play in the big leagues like I've always wanted to. But it seemed like it took forever to get to that point, though. My first 2 years, I competed rookie ball. And like you said, I wasn't a high-round draft pick, and I was a fifth-year senior, so that made me older than most of the guys that I was playing with. And to repeat rookie ball made it seem like, okay, this is going to take me forever to get there. And that was in 2011, 2012. And then in 13, I had a really good season and just kind of, you know, kept the ball rolling and something clicked. And I went from high A to triple A at the end of the season. And then, like I said, in 2014, in the bullpen, and realized that I was literally only one call away and, you know, one situation away from getting to accomplish my dreams. So,
yeah, and as you're going through that process, at some point, did you, you know, in conversations with with your family, did you talk about if it doesn't work out by this particular time, then I might just have to hang them up and try something else?
Absolutely. My wife and I had many discussions, and you know, I'm very thankful for her because she's been a true rock for me, kind of telling me to stop acting like a baby and go after it. But no, I've definitely had those conversations. Like I said, repeating rookie ball 2 years in a row at the age of 24 and 25, you know, 23, 24, however old I was, I definitely had thoughts of, you know, this may not be what I need, what I should be doing. You know, I'm not making any money at all. I've got an apartment to pay for back home. I've got bills that I need to pay for, and this just isn't cutting it. So, you know, there were definitely thoughts of me, you know, hanging them up right then and there and going to find a regular job. But I always did tell my wife, and we did have a plan that if I wasn't in the big leagues by 30, you know, then that was it. You know, it's time to put that aside and find something new. So I'm thankful for her and for her support through those years in the minor leagues and the plans that we had together and stuck with them, and you know, it worked out that I didn't have to wait till 30.
She sounds awesome.
She's amazing.
Telling you to get after it and not be a baby, that's like that kind of support is really important. So she thumbs up to your wife. I want to go back a little bit to, well, and forward. We're going in two different directions at the same time here.
All right.
So, of course, over the weekend, we heard the news about Jose Fernandez, the pitcher for the Marlins, passing away. And, of course, there's been a slew of press about him, almost all of it incredibly positive and praising, not just his ability but his personality. I ran across an article on Slate a couple of days ago where I found this interesting, and this is a quote from the author: "Veterans lecturing rookies on how to behave is as much a part of baseball's folkways as players scratching their crotches. If you'll forgive me, sorry." The article goes on to detail how baseball demographics are changing and how that is changing the way the game has been played, and that Jose Fernandez was one of those players that brought new joy to the game, or a different type of joy to the game, both on display and just how he played. Do you have any comments there? And I think the thing in the piece that struck me was Goose Gossage, Hall of Fame pitcher, of course, just has had some negative things to say about this, like, exuberance and joy coming to the game. I mean, have you been lectured by a veteran as a young player about what to do and what not to do and how to play baseball? Or would you ever lecture anybody if you were in that position?
You know, there's kind of two sides to that, I think. You know, the game is changing a little bit, and I've seen it a little bit from just from 2011 till now, and how, you know, I came up, and I was fortunate enough to come up in the minor leagues under some guys that had already been in the big leagues and were still, you know, trying to get back there and, you know, what you would call veteran guys. And so they kind of taught me how to act and how to, you know, conduct myself on the field and what you should do and shouldn't do, you know, in the big leagues, or, you know, what you can expect and how to conduct yourself. And so I was fortunate enough to play with those guys because I had, and those guys teaching me, you know, sometimes the hard way, really gave me, really allowed me to have a lot of respect for those guys. Because, you know, you look at those guys, you're like, wow, those guys have been there. They've done it. I haven't been there yet, and this is what they're telling me to do. You know, I was thankful that they were able to, you know, willing to pass along that information to me so I could, you know, prepare myself and ways to conduct myself on the field and so forth. But, you know, I think that you look at a player like Jose Fernandez, that guy played, and you heard it all over SportsCenter and ESPN and everywhere else, that he played like a child, you know, like that joy that a child has to play the game, he had that. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think, you know, sometimes we get so, as players, we get so lost in the game and what we're actually playing the game for and what we, you know, when we, what we set out to play the game for when we were kids, you know, and we get so lost in big money contracts and endorsement deals and TV contracts and all this, that we forget the real reason we started playing in the first place, and that was to have fun. And Jose had that. And you could just tell every time he was on the field and even in the dugout, he had that, that aura about him, you know, that he was still going to play the game because he loved it so much. You know, some guys, I've seen it, and it's hard not to get wrapped up in it. You see guys that, you know, they just get so, I guess, so ingrained in the business side of this game that, you know, their personality changes. And so I think there's a way that you can conduct yourself on the field, though, you know, in a professional manner, like veteran guys have done in the past. You know, I see young kids, younger guys coming up in the big leagues and they're acting, you know, crazy on the field, you know, guys hitting home runs and guys in the dugout acting like they've never seen a home run hit before, you know. And it's just, it's crazy how that's going on. You know, I was always told coming up to act like you've been there before, you know, kind of that mentality, you know, don't show anybody up. Something happens on the field that's outstanding, obviously you're going to be excited, but don't do anything, you know, that, you know, like a circus out there. You know, be professional about it, you know, have your moments, pick and choose your moments when you're going to show emotion, and, you know, the game will dictate that, so you don't have to facilitate that on your own. So I think there's two sides to that. I think the joy of playing as like a child is definitely something that can help your game if that's what you need, and then also, you know, you need to conduct yourself in a professional manner and act like you've been there before.
Cubs relief pitcher Spencer Patton, born in Urbana, grew up in Tuscola, and pleased to have him join us today on the Bandwagon Sportscast, Sports Podcast. Spencer, thanks a lot for your time. We'll see what happens, you know, with the playoff roster and everything else, but regardless, best of luck the rest of the way, and thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah. I appreciate you guys having me on. Thank you.
Yeah, good
thanks
luck.
Thanks so much. Good luck.
Thank you, guys.